All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David asks me right before we start every single time, and it's the same answer every time. Are you ready? No.
I'm never ready.
Right. I was born not ready.
So true.
But that's never stopped me before.
Well, that's awesome. We only have so many minutes in the day.
I'm just saying.
You know, gotta get going.
If you waste your time trying to be ready, you're never going to do it.
All right. Man, last week we were like struggling a little bit. We were like, what news is there? What trailers are there?
Yeah.
And I almost was like, well, don't just you wait. Comic-Con's coming.
Yep.
But then all this stuff came out that has nothing to do with Comic-Con.
Right.
But it's still like we have a whole page of news.
So are we going to do this Warner Brothers style and like break it into a two-part session?
Next time.
Right. On the Penn Cinema Podcast.
I mean, we just got to jump right in.
Yeah. All right. So Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like front and center. It's a couple weeks away, maybe like 3 weeks away. And I am so excited about this. We have panels coming.
Oh, snap.
We got a live podcast
That's right.
I are doing Saturday. And we have a lot of really exciting, fun things to look forward to. If you haven't already gotten your tickets, if you want to go all in, you can get an all-access badge and just go anywhere you want. So that's really cool. And we have some panels with some interesting people. And then also some panels with me and Chayla.
Ooh.
See the distinction I made there? Just so we're all clear. So David and I, we are doing the Penn Cinema Podcast live from the hotel.
Yeah.
Where we hope to catch, I know we're going to catch some of the filmmakers.
Oh, snap.
And then in addition to that, I am doing a panel with Zootropolis owner Chayla Hootner.
Mm.
I think that's how you say it. I've only known her for a few months, and it took me all those months to say her first name.
Didn't she just get married?
Now I'm working on her last name. I don't think that was her.
Oh, okay.
I think they had a wedding at Zoe.
Oh, okay.
But I'm almost positive it wasn't her. Either that or like maybe she's into like a Utah state of mind or something. I'll have to ask her. That would be great. But anyway, so we're really excited about that. And we have opening a few weeks after the Red Rose Film Festival is the much-anticipated Daniel Craig movie, Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Penn Cinema, located in Lititz, has scored a pre-release screening of Knives Out. So we're going to be giving away some tickets to that.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're going to be giving away some of this killer swag. Now,
okay.
I showed you, we have this Knives Out Go Magnetic 19-Way Travel Edition Game of Go.
That is a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Also, I think neither of us have heard of this game.
We've never heard of this game, but it looks kind of cool.
Kind of looks like Othello, but more complex.
It looks like Othello, but less complex.
More.
Oh, more complex.
More complex.
I think it looks less complex.
You think it looks less? Well, okay, so it's got lots of little black and yellow dots and a grid.
It's the kind of game that would drive me out of my mind.
Yeah. Also, it's portable, which means as a kid, I would have tried to play this on a in a car.
Right,
which would
absolutely.
Have been a disaster.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But the really cool thing is this letter opener.
Whoa!
What?
Check that out.
This pirate-style letter opener that says Knives Out on it. And because it's so close to a Pinkies Out, we feel some special camaraderie with this gear. And we also have this thin, cheap-looking, but very nice sweatshirt. So, anyway, I got a little sidetracked with the Knives Out swag.
We need a Pinkies Out letter opener where it's the pinky is the blade. I love it.
Oh, my God.
I love it. This is pretty cool, though.
So, yeah. So, we're going to be doing the podcast at the Red Rose Film Festival and also be giving away some cool Knives Out stuff.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm totally rad.
And if you're not into Frozen 2,
yeah,
then you can see Knives Out later in November, the end of November. I'm psyched.
See both of them. That's what I say.
Boom, chakalakalaka.
That's awesome. Okay. Let's talk about the Batman.
You're going to have to handle this one. There's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot here.
All right. I'm just going to read what I had written down, and then we'll analyze.
Okay.
Okay. Forbes contributor Mark Hughes alleges that Warner Brothers
Wait,
is now...
I think that's pronounced Hugs.
Yeah.
Mark Sorry. Hugs.
Mark Huggies.
From Starsky and Hutch fame.
Alleges that Warner Bros. is now looking to cast Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman, Two-Face, and a host of other villains, in quotes, for Matt Reeves' The Batman. The report also reiterates Jonah Hill has been offered two roles, either the Riddler or the Penguin, as is currently negotiating with Warner about which is the ideal choice. The article goes on to also allege that the upcoming Batgirl movie will be tied into this new Bat world, just as the currently delayed Nightwing movie has to wait until the status of Batman's sidekick has been settled in the Matt Reeves film. This is a lot.
All right, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
This is not related to the Joker that's out now.
Right.
That's step number one.
Step number one.
Step number two. This is for the Batman, which we expect in 21?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as I'm aware, completely unconnected to all the others, DC stuff.
Right.
So we've got multiple villains in here. We know that Jeffrey Wright was cast as Commissioner Gordon.
I like that.
I like that a lot,
too. I like that a lot.
I think that's awesome. We have...
why can't we have a Commissioner Gordon movie?
Oh, they could do that. Yeah.
I mean, they won't, but I'm just saying that would be a cool idea.
Yeah. Or even if it's Commissioner Gordon, like during Batman's first year and it's not focused on Batman, just like
right.
him.
Similar to Joker.
Yeah. Then we have Jonah Hill being offered either the Riddler or Penguin and not sure which one he's going to take.
I'm cool to that idea.
I like either one of those. I think he could be cool. And they want to put Two-Face and Catwoman in here. Now, that's a lot.
Is that too much? It's overambitious.
It depends on how they do it. Like, it says Two-Face and Catwoman, but it could just be like Harvey Dent's just in it in the background and not Two-Face. They're just establishing Harvey Dent's there or Selina Kyle is there, not as the Catwoman or something like that. But to also introduce Nightwing... or Robin, however they're going to do it. And then also Batgirl. That is a lot.
What if they do it... They should do it Marvel style. In other words, take their time.
Yeah.
And do this over a number of years.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to cram this all into one or two titles.
Unless they don't, they skip the origin and they just drop you in a world where it's just like... Already established. Maybe Robin's already Nightwing. Batgirl's already Batgirl.
Right.
Or you're just introducing Batgirl and the others are already established or something. We'll get to it when we talk about Joker, but I have an idea for what I would like to see as a Batman film now that we've explored Joker. But I want to wait to talk about that.
So. I think that this nugget, this suitcase full of news is good news. I think it shows that they're sort of looking at some, putting a lot of energy and focus into this.
You know, some people could think of the Schumacher films and be like, this could be a little tough, but I don't know. I'm kind of on board with it right now.
Yeah.
I think with this movie, I'm kind of on board until we see, pictures of the characters, and then depending on how they look, it's probably what I'll be like.
So I think what we're saying is cautiously optimistic.
Yes. Bingo bongo.
Bingo bongo. That's some grown-up shit right
there. Got it right there.
Cautiously optimistic.
Speaking of some grown-up shit.
The Irishman gets a Broadway screening.
Ooh. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm cool with this.
Now, did this happen?
No. It was just announced that The Irishman is taking over... Oh, shoot. I forgot to write down the name of the theater. But it's taking over a proper Broadway theater.
Oh.
Which will, for the first time since, it's not the first time ever, but it's, the first time in forever, in a long time.
Yeah.
That the Broadway theater will be decked out and set up to show a movie.
Wow.
Now, I have conflicting opinions about this. I have no conflicting opinions about it from a business point of view. From a business point of view, good for you. That's great. I think this is wonderful. It's creative. It's different. It celebrates the theatrical experience. You know, I think it's great. Good for you, Netflix. Creative, different, go for it.
Yeah.
My personal feelings are conflicted because on the one hand, A, I would definitely buy a ticket and go watch this movie. I think that's a super cool idea. I'd love to go to Midtown and walk through an old school Broadway theater.
Yeah.
And you know the place is going to be like decked out, you know, and I just think that would be like add to the experience of it. But on the flip side, you ever been to a Broadway show?
No.
The seats in a Broadway show are tiny.
And uncomfortable?
And uncomfortable. I don't want to go sit in a Broadway show for 3 hours. What is it, like 320?
Something like that.
It's long. Now, when you come see The Irishman at Penn Cinema, you're going to be sitting in big old recliners with plenty of room. And you can really settle in and watch a movie for 3+ hours.
Yeah. Well, how long are Broadway plays?
I think they're like two and change with an intermission. I think it's a 3-hour thing with like a half hour intermission.
Mm. I don't know, man. I know I would be uncomfortable.
I'm just saying, I'm conflicted.
I'm uncomfortable at Madison Square Garden.
That's comparable. That's pretty much what it is.
Like those seats are tiny.
Yeah, that's pretty much comparable. So anyway, I guess from you know a professional point of view, I think this is great. I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun. From a personal point of view, like I don't know if I want to go sit in Broadway, especially now that we know it's going to be available at Penn Cinema. If we weren't having it, that is where I would probably go watch it.
Really?
I'm just saying, for the fun of it. You know, it's a special.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's Martin Scorsese.
Didn't the screening for this already start?
No. It starts November.
November. Okay. I thought
November, like, first or second, and then it comes to Penn Cinema November 27th.
Right.
Which is the same day it goes to Netflix.
Right. But it's still going to be, this is the way to see it.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't own a movie theater,
mm-hmm.
what I would do is I would go to the movie theater and watch it, and then I would go home and watch it again. You know, I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to want to see this on the big screen.
Right.
And it's probably bad for my business that you can go home and watch it the second and third time at home.
Yeah.
But if I was a moviegoer, that's how I would watch it. I would come and watch it in the theater and then at some future date, watch it again.
Did you see Scorsese's comment on Marvel movies this week?
No.
I forgot to write down something about how Marvel movies are like amusement rides. And he was kind of like talking down about it, but I'm like, I read it. I was like, well, yeah. I mean, they're rides.
Yeah.
Like they're,
yeah.
They're not deep. I don't know.
They're not deep, but there is. I mean,
there's substance to
them.
But it's not like. I mean, I'm not. I would go to a Scorsese film for a different reason than I'd go to a Marvel
right.
film. You know what I mean?
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Joker.
Never heard of it.
That's more in the Scorsese family of movies than the Avengers family of movies. I mean, if we're drawing a comparison.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so James Gunn.
Where does this one land?
I don't know. It's somewhere straight in the middle. James Gunn confirmed he'll begin filming the third Guardians of the Galaxy after Suicide Squad is finished editing. Not filming. Editing.
So when they're done filming, he's going to start
editing.
Editing.
And then when he's done editing, he'll do the production.
Then he'll do.
Yeah, he'll start pre-production, or maybe filming. I don't know. But you got to imagine he's going to be touring and stuff for Suicide Squad and promoting.
So the point of this article or this piece of news is that he's definitely still on board for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but he's not going to compromise Suicide Squad to do so.
And I think that is a good call. I mean, look, Suicide Squad, I'm not pumped for it, right? We all know that.
We're going to revisit this when we watch the Harley Quinn trailer.
But, But James Gunn, man, like...
I love him.
If he's going to do it, he should give it his all, because he's done some great things. And so, if anyone can turn this around, it's going to be him.
What are you talking about turn this around?
Well, I mean, did you see the first Suicide Squad?
Yeah, good call.
I'm just saying.
You want to be honest for a minute?
Yeah.
Here's I got to just true confessions.
You didn't watch Suicide Squad?
No, no, I totally did.
Okay.
My true confession is that when you said, if anyone can turn this around, I thought you were still talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
And I was like, why we liked Guardians?
We liked Guardians, yeah. Come on, get with the program, man.
Sleep at the wheel again. All right.
What do you got?
Inspector Gadget.
Do, 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 do. Inspector Gadget. Do, do, do.
Word on the street is that Disney is working on a new live-action version of Inspector Gadget with Aladdin producers Dan Lin and Jonathan Erich on board, along with Saturday Night Live writers Mikey Day and Streeter Seidel. If that kid's real name is Streeter,
it is.
Kudos to you, my friend.
It is.
That's a great name. I love Mikey Day.
Streeter Seidel used to be on College Humor, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But is that really, like, that's what it says on, his parents were like, we're going to name him Streeter.
It's like, it's like some sort of 90s kids cartoon.
Right.
Oh, this is Doug, and this is...
Doug and Streeter coming up next.
Yeah, this is Skeeter right next
after this toothbrush commercial.
Right, yeah. I'm kind of cool with this. Like, it's time for another Inspector Gadget thing. I always liked Inspector Gadget.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the what's his name? Who did the other live-action ones? I want to say Pierce Brosnan, but it's not. It's Matthew Braddock. Matthew.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matthew Broderick.
Broderick.
From
Godzilla.
Or
Ferris Bueller's Day.
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. He did it. And those were, I think, I was too old at the time, but they never enticed me. But I could see, like doing it now.
If you're going to do it good. Yeah.
Yeah, with, like, the visual technology that we have, so much more advanced, it could be really cool.
I love the fact that Mikey Day, I can't speak for Streeter, but I love the fact that they have some good, funny writers, like real quality comedy writers.
Right.
I think that's a great sign.
You're a big SNL guy.
I am.
Yeah.
I do love Saturday Night Live. There was a Saturday Night Live skit. And I guess you could Google it. It was these two ladies selling apple, like they were at like an apple picking farm. Have you ever gone apple picking?
I have not.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's the kind of thing you agree to when your girlfriend, like, wants to do something cute, like, outside. And it's like, oh, it'll be so much fun. We'll go apple picking. And you, like we went apple picking in college, like, on a double date, like, with Bob and Jen. It was like, oh, God. You know, it was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I hated every minute of it. But it's the kind of thing you agree to go do because your girlfriend wants to, you know, wants to do it. It's dumb as a hammer.
Well, Dr. Amy Ketchum. Podcast at pensinema.com if you want to rebuttal this.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
I'm hoping Marley tells her.
That's more likely. Marley will snitch us out in a heartbeat. But the skit on Saturday Night Live about going apple picking is so dead on. And they cover a lot of things, including the haunted house kids, you know, and stuff like it's just a riot. You gotta, you know, that skit just had me screaming. It's good stuff.
So we're on board with that. So I've told you about Du Bois, but let me tell you about Du Bois.
Du Bois.
The director.
Are you sure it's not pronounced Du Bois?
Du Bois.
I feel like it wants to be pronounced Du Bois.
But I want to say Du Bois. Du Bois. He's best known for writing and directing How to Train Your Dragon, the whole trilogy.
Great.
He's been tapped by Universal Pictures to make a new live-action version of Robert Louis Stevenson's...
Lewis.
Robert Louis Stevenson's legendary novel, Treasure Island. Awesome. Cool. Treasure Island's a great story. You ever watch the show Black Sails?
Yes.
So good.
Love that.
Did you know that's a prequel to Treasure Island?
No.
The island that they're on is Treasure Island.
Yeah.
And it's all about, I mean, Long John Silver's in it. It's all about how his, like...
Some studio, I forget who, whoever is behind... I know Black Sails wasn't a movie, but there's some studio I deal with that also has, like, TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Might be Lionsgate. Anyway, they sent me, like, a bunch of swag, and in that swag was the box set of Black Sails.
Oh,
and
like
that's
the whole,
how I
the
got
whole series.
Yeah, and that's how I got turned on to it.
Yeah, I picked it up on a whim when it was on sale, and I was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
I had to buy the rest.
So here's my only. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I think this is great.
Yeah.
My only note of caution: the bar for something like this is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And anything they do is going to be compared to Pirates. And in my opinion, Pirates, I'm not saying all of them, but that was a great franchise.
Yeah. They really have to hit it high, and they have to be different.
Right.
That's going to be hard. It can be done.
They're up for it.
I think a lot of what makes
they
Pirates...
Should, they should call Streeter.
Streeter. Seidel.
Yeah.
For me, a lot of like the look of Pirates is kind of what... I mean, the acting and all that
right.
does it, but
no,
like...
No, you're right.
The colors and all that
the
stuff.
Costumes.
Yeah. If they can get that right, I think that they'll be fine.
And the star.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to really nail... You know, Pirates got Johnny Depp, who, you know, crushed it perfectly.
So is Long John Silver young or old? In
I don't know.
James McAvoy. It's my boy.
Put
him in it.
Put him in, coach.
Throw him in. I don't know. Wherever he lands, it's the role he got.
In other news.
Yeah.
I had occasion to bump into my old high school football coach. And I'm very pleased to report... That anyone who has heard me tell football stories over the years,
yeah,
you know how sometimes you tell stories and then over time they drift.
kind of like you throw in football,
right? No, I was never allowed to touch the football. I was a blocking guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
blocked and tackled.
Yeah.
I asked the coach, why can't I catch? He said, because you got lineman hands. Like you don't go near the football. So anyway, over time. Stories drift from what really happened. It's just natural.
Yeah.
So I had occasion to talk to my old football coach for the first time in 30 years.
Oof.
Jerry LaPlante. Shout out to Jerry. Shout out to all my high school buddies, although I told them all about the podcast. I don't think any of them listen.
Oh, come on.
Rat bastards.
Who do they think they are?
Right?
It's
They're
like,
too good. Talk about pinkies out.
These Connecticut fools.
Come on, Wrecker. Come on, Wrecker. Come through for me, buddy.
You didn't spend all that time with them for nothing.
Wrecker lives up in Maine.
Wrecker lives in Maine?
Who wants to live in Maine?
Eskimos.
I tell you what he does, though. He spends 1 week a month making movies in Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Anyway, I spoke to my coach, and all of my football stories were verified.
Really?
Yep, and he even brought up some of them.
Really?
Which tells you that he wasn't just, like, agreeing with me.
Hey, Pat, remember that time you got us all water?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Remember that?
Remember those three games you sat on the bench and didn't do anything? Oh, man.
My senior year, I played every single play of every single game. Special teams, offense, defense. I know that means nothing to you. You're not sports.
Even the plays for the opposite team? they're a little shorthanded. Pat, get over there.
put me in, coach. All right. Speaking of Penn's football career, we have news. Pippi Longstocking.
Yes.
The world's strongest girl.
Uh-huh.
Getting a new movie? We're pretty short on details on this.
Okay. That's because your boy.
Your boy, David.
Du Bois.
Right.
But your boy, David. I used to be a big fan of the old Pippi Longstocking.
Who's not?
I know, right?
Right.
She's pretty cool.
What's not to love?
I just remember in the movie, she spun around with her with her pigtails like a helicopter. She took off. I mean,
she could take flight like Inspector Gadget.
How cool was that? And she
Very
lifted
cool.
a horse.
Oh, my God.
So all we need to know is that they're bringing Pippi Longstocking back.
And you're on board.
And I'm fully for it.
Right.
And... Whoever they get.
Chloe Moretz.
A little old for the role, maybe. But maybe the girl from It.
Ellen Page?
Yes, Ellen Page. The girl from It. Or the redhead girl.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, well, who does?
I'm just naming my favorite actresses.
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
Chloe Grace Moretz. No, I think the mom from Greta, or the Greta from Greta should play her. Anyway, I think that's cool news, Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah, I do too. This to me is very similar to the Treasure Island news.
Yeah.
In the sense of like it's got great potential. You know, one of the most disappointing franchises in my recent, since we opened the theater?
Star Wars.
Nancy Drew.
Just roll right over it.
David, I don't have enough minutes to deal with your nonsense today. I'm not going to allow this podcast to be hijacked by your tomfoolery. No more ballyhoo.
I just snuck it right in.
And I just monster trucked right over it. No. How do you like me now?
Wow. Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Pippi Longstocking or something? Most disappointing? Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
Starring Emma Roberts.
Oh.
Julia Roberts' niece or something like that.
Yeah.
I love her, and I mean, I read Nancy Drew books, like with the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
When I was little. And I had really high hopes for this. I thought this could have been a great franchise for PG movies. And I thought the movie was great. It was very simple. I'm not saying it was like a wonderful film. But it was. I thought there was nothing wrong with it, but it totally flopped and killed the Nancy Drew franchise.
Yeah. Well,
so
she has a show now, right?
Nancy Drew?
I think she's. I think they just. There's a Nancy. No, not Nancy. Is it Nancy Drew? I think she has a show now on CW.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Who's watching CW?
Apparently a lot of people, because they have all the shows. They got all the DC shows. They got all the, like, it's just like.
I want to put something out there.
Riverdale.
I want to put something out there for your consideration.
For me?
For all of our consideration.
Oh, okay. I feel
you,
less special.
Me, our listener.
I thought we had something.
Right. Is it possible that we're too old for some of this stuff? Exhibit A. Exhibit A. Suicide Squad. And the Birds of Prey trailer. Like, is there a younger set of moviegoers who are watching Harley Quinn going, this movie's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to take my neon high tops and my jammies that I wore to Turkey Hill to get my coffee.
I wanted to call them fulvigoers. Because I don't know. Yeah, sorry. No. It's not that we're...
Like, are we missing it?
We've matured out of it. Pinkies out!
Like, I just... You know, you see these kids that I sometimes can't relate to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of the kids, you know...
Yeah, I think some of it's we've aged out, and you know, we're too old. Some of it's a demographic thing, which I guess is the aging thing, I guess. You know, it's just not, like, we're not looking to rebel.
Is there anybody out there that really loved Suicide Squad?
There are people
I didn't dislike it as much as you
they're
did.
They're all at Hot Topic.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The Hot Topic crap. Okay, let's move on off of this diversion.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Darks. Andre.
Yes, David?
I don't know how to pronounce this letter. An O with a strike.
Everybody. You know who would know that?
Marley.
Pen. What is it? The pot.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. We've never said it before.
It's my first time. Podcast at PennCinema.com, Marley. An O with a line through it. V-R-E-D-A-L.
Overdahl.
How do you pronounce that?
Overdahl.
That mess.
Andre Overdahl. He's now attached to direct a Dracula movie titled The Last Voyage of the Demeter? Demeter. Last Voyage of the Demeter for Amblin. Okay, this premise sounds kind of interesting to me. Okay, it's named after the ship that transported Dracula from Transylvania to London. The story is said to follow its crew being slaughtered one by one by a mysterious passenger before arriving in England with one raving mad survivor. I mean, they spoiled it by saying it was Dracula already, but at the same time, like, that sounds like it could be pretty cool.
I'm 100% on board.
Yeah.
I think this sounds really great. In the spirit of, like, do you keep it light and go like Sherlock Holmes, or do you go all in, like, dark?
Well, here's the thing. Look, I didn't see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
I did.
Okay. visually, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, this guy knows what he's doing with monsters. Whether or not, like, Scary Stories, you know, for whatever, I didn't see it, but I think this guy knows what he's doing with horror.
So.
Monster horror, specifically.
I'm not one to judge a book by its cover. Mm.
So you never judge a book because I know you don't open them.
That's why. That's why I don't judge books. But anybody with a line through the O in their name, like, I trust them to make this movie. Like Sven, yeah. Sign me up. I'm on board.
Yeah. Andre Udra. I can't wait till she tells us how that sounds.
Uvredal.
Uvredal.
Uvredal. Like the Swedish chef.
Hey, come on. If you can do that, then I can call him Robert Battenbat. All right? Rob Bat Battenbat. It's only fair.
If you get one, I get one. When's the next Muppet movie?
Not soon enough.
Not soon enough. That's the only correct answer.
I wonder if it's going to be on an HBO thing because they got HBO has Sesame Street now.
Oh, sweet.
So, I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, it's going to be gritty. I'm just saying like, I wonder if they'll.
What if it was? What if there was an R-rated gritty? They did that with What's Her Face a couple years ago, and it wasn't as funny as we thought.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was disturbing.
It was a little. Disturbing. Okay, Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Comedy legend. Speaking of comedy legends. Oh, I'm sorry, terror legend. Horror legend. And his production company, Monkey Paw.
Mm.
That's a pretty good name.
I like that name.
Yeah, Monkey Paw, that's cool.
I like it.
It's not as good as Gonna Need a Bigger Boat. Or what was it? Bigger Boat Productions.
Bigger Boat Productions, yeah.
But Monkey Paw is pretty good. And Monkey Paw has signed a 5-year... 2-picture deal with Universal.
I like it.
Me too.
I like it.
Yeah.
I also like that it doesn't seem unrealistically
right.
Short or long.
Right. It's just right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a piece of news I read this afternoon
that
I'm really interested in your opinion on this. Matthew Vaughn.
Okay. From, as in who did what?
As in what?
Huh? Who's Matthew Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn, are you quizzing me?
Yeah, because I don't know the answer to the question. Who's Matthew Vaughn?
I didn't even write it down because he'd done so much. He's done...
Can you name...
No.
One...
No.
...thing?
I swear, I thought you would know.
Man, I don't know. I mean, and this is only 37 weeks that we've been doing this, but I don't know if you know, I don't get names very well. All right, he's looking it up. All right, I found him. He's produced Kingsman, The Secret Service, Jackass, yes. Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Layer Cake, one of my all-time favorite movies,
yes.
Stardust, Kingsman coming out, bunch of X-Men movies, Snatch, et cetera, et cetera.
That's why I thought you would know, because the X-Men movies.
He also produced Fantastic Four with the four as an A, the bad one. Well, they're all bad, but yeah. So... What you're saying here is he wants to do
he wants another crack at it with Marvel.
As originally written, could be bigger than Spidey.
That's his words, not yours.
Here's the thing about Fantastic Four. Whew. Right? Prepare your butts because I'm about to drop a bomb. They're called Marvel's First Family because they were the first like huge big hit.
Right.
For when Marvel came around, right? And they remained Marvel's big thing until the movie started doing bad and Marvel threw them to the wayside. Because they were like, these movies aren't good. We're not going to support them by making comics about these characters. The Fantastic Four characters work great, especially in conjunction with other Marvel characters. But origin story-wise and by themselves, they're very, very dated. And they are very difficult, I think, to get people into. But if you bring them in... as auxiliary, or it's like part of the, not maybe not the Avengers, but there's a great piece with like Spider-Man becoming part of the Fantastic Four in the comics and stuff. Like if they integrate that kind of stuff and bring them in maybe a little bit of an origin story, but more like in conjunction with other characters, I think it could be awesome.
Yeah.
If you write them with each character getting the proper respect and time, it could be really cool.
Well, he spoke about this at New York City Comic Con, which you're going to talk about in a few minutes. But he made comment like, it's interesting. I feel like he already had his chance. And now he's saying, oh, well, if I could do it with the Marvel machine behind me and do it the way it was intended. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear more from him in terms of like, what was so wrong the first time? Like, why'd you get it so wrong the first time?
And he probably blamed the director, who I understand had a lot to do with that problem. I don't know.
Anyway. All right. One last little piece of news. It's not really news, but in case you haven't already heard.
Say what?
The 1979 science fiction classic Alien.
Okay.
Starring one
Sigourney
Weaver.
Weaver.
Lieber. That's how we say it in Dutch country. Lieber.
Lieber.
So Alien is getting a theatrical release to celebrate its 40th anniversary with Showtime's coming up on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So if you're a big Alien fan, if you've never seen it in the theater, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to Comic-Con and wait in line to see Sigourney Weaver, you better have seen...
Aliens.
Yeah.
Or Alien.
Alien.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a great movie.
And that's all the news for today.
Yeah. But going along with our full thing of news, there was an atomic bomb of trailers.
This would be a good place to put like a sponsor announcement.
Yeah.
Like we finished the news. Thank you. Brought to you by Stadel Volvo.
Yeah.
Bringing you the best Volvos.
Casper mattresses.
Are we going to talk? Are we going to talk about that in the listener notes?
I didn't put it in, but we can.
We got. I'm going to give you a preview. I'm going to do a listener note right now.
Say what?
The Mystery Gobble wrote us and said, don't bother
trying to make money.
Trying to make money.
It's not worth it.
So that ruins all our plans because we've been making so much money here.
Yeah. We're like, wait, stop the presses.
Wait.
Return the cash. This isn't going
anywhere. These duffel bags of cash that we have laying around, which I'm really glad to finally be getting them out of my office.
It's taking up so much space. It's embarrassing.
It's so awkward. Okay. New trailers.
Okay.
Are you going to start with this first one or save it?
I don't know. What do you think? Head it off?
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? Just jump right in.
The big trailer of the week. Not the trailer of the week. But the big talk of the week.
Talk of the town.
Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. A.K.A. Harley Quinn, the movie, with some other characters you'll never recognize. Dude, okay. On this trailer...
David's notes on this trailer consist of one word that takes up the entire line. He spelled it using enough letters to fill up this entire line. And I'm dying to hear what's behind that. What's your problem?
Maybe I'm not enough of an edgelord to like this movie, but it just...
Did you say edgelord?
I did.
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, you might have to go-oggle that term.
Go-oggle.
So, if this movie at least shows up on the way it's advertised, unlike Suicide Squad advertised itself like this movie is advertising itself and then tried to deliver something gritty instead of fun and colorful. This movie looks like it might actually deliver the colorful stuff. Okay, first things I like. I like Harley Quinn. I like that they're giving her her pet hyena. She has two of them in the comics, but she's have one in this. I like that they're doing that. Things I don't like is Harley doesn't fit in with any of the other things going on. She's too comical for these other characters that we've never met. We have, and I'm going to ask you if you could have told me any of these people were in this movie.
Okay.
Do you know who Huntress is?
Uh-uh.
Well, could you have said any of these characters might have the name Huntress? Any of the girls?
I would guess, yeah. The one with the bow?
Okay, got it. Nailed it.
Okay.
All right. Then we have Black Canary.
The black lady?
Well, I mean, typically she's not, but yeah, okay. She is.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has a supersonic scream.
Oh, boy.
That can break things. And then, I can't remember her first name, Montoya. She's a cop.
Inigo?
Yeah, Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
It's him. Yeah. Yeah, Montana? I don't know. Remember what
I remember the cop in the trailer.
Yeah, there's a cop lady.
A lady cop.
In this, they're the birds of prey. But they don't look anything like
her.
Yeah, they don't look as colorful as her. They don't look anything like their comic characters whatsoever. They don't have costumes or anything. The main character is a character named Black Mask, who we see not in a black mask at any point. I just don't know. It just seems like a hot mess of colors and marketing ploys and manipulation to me. And it doesn't...
This trailer didn't do anything for me.
Right. Yeah, I think that's why it angers me.
But what I was wondering was, and this goes to my earlier question about aging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder, like, are the kids who are hanging out at the mall this weekend psyched because that's what they want, is wild colors and, you know, they don't care. You're sitting here talking about characters and comic, and, like, they don't care. They don't know there's a comic.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting because I think this will play to and give to the audience that it wants, which is that crowd, right? But I wonder if they're going to see it after Joker, which played to this crowd and I don't think fits this crowd. And we're going to talk about Joker.
I think enough time has passed by the time Harley Quinn comes on screen. It's like 2020 sometime.
February, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get to Joker.
Yeah.
So this didn't do anything for you.
No.
Yeah, it didn't. Other than make me irritated and just groan. I will say the second time I watched it, because I saw it and then I saw it again in the theater before Joker, and I was I was like, maybe I hate it a little bit less now.
Yeah.
But I still don't like it. All right. Give us the next trailer.
Trick, starring Omar Epps. Unrelated to the Epps that we know and love here in Linux.
Yeah.
Trick looks awful and stars a young man named Omar Epps, who's apparently not that young, because when I looked him up on IMDb, he has a bunch of movie credits, all movie and TV show credits, all circa 2000.
Really?
So it looks like about 15 or 16 years ago, he had a pretty good agent who got him some roles.
Uh-huh.
And then, if I had to guess, I would say he spent all his money, went to rehab, decided to come back, got a new agent, and now...
It took a second to register what he said. I was drinking.
Now, you may ask me, who is this Omar Epps?
Yeah, who is this cat you speak of?
Well, let me tell you, among his many credits is his inclusion. He's a member of a hip-hop group called Wolfpack.
Oh.
Which may or may not also include Zach Galifianakis, but I don't think it does. He formed Wolfpack with his cousin in 1991. I mean, I'm not trying to question his credentials. I'm just saying.
I mean, he has them.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So you're saying that this movie doesn't look like it's forming the next horror icon, such as the trailer leads you to believe?
That's what I'm saying.
It literally says. The next horror icon, to which I watched and I was like, which one is it? Is it the guy with the pumpkin mask or is it the pig mask? Or is it just masks?
I don't know. This trailer falls in the category, I forgot what we talked about last week, but it was like, it's so bad that it's not even fun to watch.
Right.
Because it's like, I guess you could say it's produced enough that it looks like a normal movie. It just, I don't know.
A lot of horror movie stuff this week. Yeah, I think it looks dumb. Okay, well, I'm going to back us up because you passed right over it. Kingsman.
Monster trucked right over that.
Kingsman trailer 2.
Yeah, I liked this trailer.
I did too. Something about the Kingsman universe I find almost more appealing being less modern.
Less what?
Modern.
Modern. Okay.
Yeah, modern. Modern.
I couldn't tell if you were saying modern or moderate.
Modern. Modern. Yeah. Like, because it's World War II-ish at time.
Right.
Because I think the gadgets and stuff they have then, I find cooler because the stuff that they had, Kingsman 2 and stuff especially, like borderline on the absolute complete ridiculous, like rebuilding someone's like skull, you know, with paste.
Right. And,
but it's a little bit cooler to have these kind of like steampunkish things going on. I think this looks fun.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Great trailer. I'm excited for the movie.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All Uncut Gems.
Okay. Come on, hit me.
You know, I'm no fan of Adam Sandler.
Right.
I'm no big Adam Sandler guy.
Right.
And he took all his movies to Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, look who wants to come back. Look who wants to come back to the movie theaters.
Back.
Oh, Adam, you'd like us to show your movies now. Yeah. Fancy pants.
My A-man trying to put on his A-game.
All of a sudden, I guess he's not making enough money over there, and he wants to put Uncut Gems. Now, here's my problem with this.
Okay.
You know what my problem is?
What's your problem with Penn?
I'll tell you what my problem. I got one problem.
Uh-huh.
I want to hate this movie.
Yeah?
But I kind of liked it. Like, I thought it looked pretty good.
I'm right there with you. Here's the thing. It does, like, okay, it's
listed. And, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the second part of my...
Don't ever let that happen again.
The second part is I wanted to hate this movie and I liked it. And the other thing that has me conflicted is as much as I distrust Adam Sandler, who I think has made some crap in the past,
what?
I like A24.
Yeah.
The studio behind this movie called Uncut Gems is A24. And they generally, in my opinion, put out movies that I like.
Yeah. Here's the thing I'm seeing about this. I'm hearing a lot of mocking. Like, oh, Adam Sandler... blah, 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 whatever. He wants to be taken serious. This is listed as a comedy drama, but it didn't look funny to me in the trailer. My boy, Adam Sandler, has made a lot of crap. But one of my all-time favorite movies cinematically and partially because of the acting is a movie called Punch Drunk Love, starring one Adam Sandler in a completely serious role. When this dude goes full-on, like, business... he can carry. So, one, it's A24, which I trust. Yep. Two, it looks fairly serious, not full of all the gags and crap. I didn't see one of his quote-unquote friends that he puts in all of his movies.
Right.
So I'm kind of like on board with this. I want to see more. I want to see the movie.
Yeah.
I said it. Yeah, deal with it.
I said it. Deal with it. Yeah, I do too. It's good.
Okay, here's a movie that I could not figure out for the life of me if it was real.
Now, this is a trailer. God, I hope we're talking about the same one. But this is a trailer that, in my opinion, does fall in a category of being so bad it's worth watching. Yeah.
Portals.
Portals. Starring nobody.
Starring nobody.
Made by nobody.
Nobody.
Being distributed by nobody.
It's a story where all these monolith a la Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey monolith things come up, and when you hit them, you're portaled into someplace, you disappear, but only one man's come back. Or did he? Was he on the other side of the portal the whole time? That's the question the trailer leads you to believe. Why can he go back and forth? What's the deal with his eye?
Why is he so bloodied?
Yeah. What's going on? The sci-fi nerd in me was like, I want to know more.
Yeah.
But the person in me that knows that I would never be able to sit through this was like, don't ever go back. Don't look directly at it.
The next trailer we have is my trailer of the week.
Oh, this is my second. This was, and then another one bumped it out, and we'll get to it.
I'm talking, of course, about The Gentleman.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with The King's Man.
Right.
And is it, it's plural, right? Gentlemen.
Is it gentlemen? It might be gentlemen.
I'm pretty sure it's gentlemen.
Not The Gentleman.
And it stars Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the Lincoln commercial.
he gets out of the Lincoln and the movie
right,
starts.
Right. And actually, the funny thing is, it totally could.
Yeah.
But this movie looks to me like just another, in the spirit of The Kingsman, in the spirit of James Bond, in the spirit of like action adventure spy movies.
Yeah.
This movie looks great.
Now, I didn't catch if it was directed by Madonna's husband. What's his name?
Yes, it is. It is. Guy Ritchie.
Okay. But so Guy Ritchie has had some here and there as of late, but he's been doing like more, what's the word, blockbuster-esque
did
things.
You like Snatch?
That
was such a great movie.
I do like Snatch. Yes. He did Layer Cake.
Yeah.
Is it Lock, Stock, and Two Barrel? I don't know. He's done a lot. Older films where they're smaller focused, London-based, London cast.
Right.
Those ones are almost every single one of them is great, and that's what this looks like.
Right.
Back to his roots. And so I am fully on board with this. I think it looks fantastic.
You had something to say about Hugh Grant?
Yeah. Hugh Grant's in this movie, and when they said it, I was like, oh.
That's Hugh Grant?
That's Hugh Grant? Really? I'm just so used to him to being the heartthrob, and he's got like a full beard. He looks older.
Aging.
Yeah, but he looks cool. Mm. Yeah.
That's my trailer of the week. I loved it.
Okay.
The Gentleman.
I see you snuck this in here.
I did.
And I'm surprised because I was like, do I put it on there? Because I really want to.
Well, you may remember.
Yeah.
A number of weeks ago,
uh-huh.
We took a notes from listener.
Yeah.
And Pirate Dave
said if it's good, it's good. It gets
said
on.
If it's good, it's good. Okay. And, you know, I kind of agreed with him. And okay. I wrote him back and I said, yeah, I agree with you. Like, that's a pretty – I hadn't thought of it myself, but I thought it was a good point. And so with that in mind
– Yeah. You also attached a document, legal document, said do not – there was a do not
– cease and desist.
Cease and desist. Don't contact me again.
Right. Star Trek, Picard, which comes to CBS All Access in January. This trailer looked amazing. The show looks amazing. I'm going to try to watch it. You have to buy CBS? Like, is that
I think, but what you can do is the old 1-2 punch. Wait for it to all be out. CBS All Access for 1 month and then cancel.
Gotcha. I think this looks really great.
Yeah. I like that Picard, they're not fooling around. He's definitely old.
Right.
I like the returning cast. You have Data, at least in the flashback. Riker and Troy are in it for a minute. I'm not sure if Jeri Ryan is going to be a full cast member or not, but having Seven of Nine crossover with Picard, having other Star Trek series other than Next Generation crossing over into this seems so cool to me. And kind of the whole Renegade feel. My guess from this is that judging from what they've shown of the auxiliary characters is that it's going to be called Star Trek Picard, and he's going to be in every episode, but I think the heavy hitters are going to be the auxiliary cast are going to carry like a lot of plot and stuff.
Allison Pill is in it, who you might remember from NewsHour or Newsweek or something. Mm-hmm. It was a show. She's really great.
I am super hyped for this.
Yeah.
This might be enough to get me to subscribe to CBS All Access. And up until now for Discovery, Star Trek Discovery, I've just been waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray and purchasing it outright.
I'm guessing this is your trailer of the week, this next one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
The Personal History of David Copperfield.
With Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. This looks so much fun to me. I just, who knows if the movie's actually this good, but the editing looks great. One of the things I caught is that it was made by the people who made a movie that I really want to see that looks equally as funny called The Death of Stalin.
Mm.
And it's all about like them trying to deal with the power hole after Stalin's killed. Was he killed or did he die?
I don't know.
I don't remember. But after Stalin passes. This looks really funny. The cast looks amazing. It's got Tilda Swinton. It's got Dev. I forget his last name.
Patel
as the main guy. And it also has Peter Capaldi, who is great. So you may know him from Doctor Who. I know you're a big Doctor Who fan. Anyway, this is my trailer of the week.
Yeah, I thought this trailer was really amazing. I can't wait to see the movie. I could pick it as my trailer of the week. I liked Gentleman better just because I love...
Stick to your guns,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, I love Guy Ritchie. I love those sort of fun, wild adventure movies.
Hey, when we disagree, that lets you make two posts on Facebook about our trailers of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Next trailer, Light from Light.
Yes.
That's like a religious... Doesn't that... That comes from the Bible.
It might. It might. This movie stars a lady that I can't remember the name of and Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
As an auxiliary character.
Yeah.
Now, the synopsis I read about this was, imagine Ghost Hunters, like the TV, the fake reality shows Ghost Hunters, where they go in and they try and find the ghost stuff. But instead of being that, imagine it surrounded by a story of, like, of people with a connection to the house wanting to know who's really there and then using this technology to try and, like, see if anything's actually there. Do they find something? Do they not? Do they tell the person who hopes there's something there if there's something there or not? I mean, I'm not saying this looks riveting or anything, but it looks like a well-made movie.
I would say it's like fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a plot, apparently, that we haven't seen before.
It's a plot, apparently, end sentence.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tolerate it doesn't have to be a great movie, but if the story is really interesting, I'll put up with all kinds of, you know, it doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's an interesting story, the best example of that I always think of is this horror movie called As Above, So Below.
Okay.
Which is like kind of crappy, but so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about these people that explore the underground under Paris. And then to get back up, they have to actually, once they get down to the bottom, the world is turned. So to get back out, they want to go up, but what they realize is they have to go down. And it's like Dante's seven levels of Dante's Inferno. And so I thought the movie's like cheesy. The acting is cheesy, like everything about it. But the premise was so interesting. Like, it's really good.
Huh.
And I feel like Light from Light is in that category.
This is a movie I wouldn't expect to get a wide release.
I don't think it will.
No.
And Jim Gaffigan, isn't he a comic?
Yeah, but he's been doing a lot of serious stuff.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
So
his acting just in this trailer is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So our final trailer for this week, Zombieland, Red Band trailer. This is more than just the F-bomb trailer.
More than just the F-bomb trailer. The name of the trailer is more than just the F-bomb trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of this?
I loved it. It was great.
I thought it was fine. Yeah.
What was the deal with the interview with Bill Murray?
That's what I was curious about. But they're like, why did you do this? And he's like
was that from the, like, was that an excerpt from the movie or was that like part of the trailer?
I think that's an excerpt from the movie.
So they ask him, why'd you do this?
And they said, other than drugs. And he goes, well, drugs cost money.
Drugs cost money.
Yeah. There's nothing in this that really put me over the top and made me any more excited, but there's nothing in it that made me less excited.
So this coming next week, right now, you and I are going to review Joker.
Okay.
And then next week, we're going to watch Gemini Man.
Also, Mr. America.
Mr. America is day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
But our movie review is going to be Gemini Man.
Right.
And then the following week, we're going to choose between Maleficent and Zombieland.
That's such a hard choice.
We might have to split up.
Tag team it?
Yeah. Because I'm definitely watching Zombieland.
I feel like I'd rather watch Zombieland.
Yeah.
Than Maleficent. Because I've never seen the first one.
If I have the... You keep saying that like it matters.
I guess it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Or you could just watch the first one. What?
Whoa. Bro.
Why are you coming at me?
That's personal right there. How dare you? All right. Well, make it up to me by telling me what's been happening at the theater this week since last we talked. Big hitters, probably no surprise, but...
Well, you know what happened nationally because, I mean, you and our listeners, everybody knows Joker cleaned up, broke all kinds of records. What was interesting to me this weekend was... Our strong number two movie was Judy.
I'm going to ask how it did.
The Judy Garland story is quietly putting together quite a release.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are loving it.
Wow.
And I have it in Theater 10, so there's no noise bleeds between. Some of the shows are in Theater 1, so if you came and saw it in Theater 1, but I have Downton Abbey next door to it. Theater 1 and 2 are both isolated with each other. Mm-hmm. So if I can put two good, like, sort of grown-up movies that don't have car crashes and loud bass lines and stuff, I can put them over there and trust that it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's the news from the weekend is Judy. I was relieved, but not in the least bit surprised. We talked last week about the security around Joker and stuff like that. And, of course, we brought in some police and, you know, kicked up security a couple extra notches. And on the one hand, I was relieved to report that there was no incidents whatsoever. But also, like, that's not news.
Right.
I mean, like, we knew that, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Have faith.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Cool. All right. Well, now we're going to talk about Joker. And right off the bat, spoilers. So
spoilers abound.
Yeah. Check the time codes because I don't think we can talk about this movie without spoilers. So, all right, Penn, you saw Joker. Did you watch it again?
No, but I'm going to.
Okay. So how did you feel about Joker?
Best picture, best actor, best director.
Really?
And I'll go a step further and say I felt like this was a dark, dark masterpiece.
Yes.
And I think it's the best origin story I've ever seen.
Ooh.
Podcast at PennCinema.com if you want to hit me with a better origin story than Joker. David's over there trying to come up with something, but he can't because he knows it's true.
Forrest Gump.
If there was a Forrest Gump 2, okay.
All right. Okay. This movie is fantastic. I agree what you said. It should be up for all three of those categories. A masterpiece in art, acting fabulous.
Best score.
Score, the cinematography, the movie is just so well made. A bit formulaic at times, but so well made. I don't think that matters that much.
Where did you see it formulaic?
It just like ticks off like the psychopath list, like Lives with Mom, Rejected by Girls, Tough Job, you know, Needs Meds. Like, but no surprise there. Like, it's not like, what did you expect?
Right.
You know, that's not really a bad knock. I don't really have anything negative to say about Joker. I have, of course, nitpicks, but at the same time, they're so small. Here's my thing with Joker. It's too good in the fact that it disturbed me in watching this movie made me feel very uncomfortable, especially towards the end and the ending, which was simultaneously like, I love the end shot so much, but like up and just very disturbing. Like this movie deals with mental health issues. I think it brings, in one hand, like a really good light in showing how it is to live with a mental illness and how hard the world treats someone with a mental illness and how unfair it can be and unforgiving. At the same time, there was a part of me that was a little concerned that was like, well, is someone suffering from a mental illness going to see this and think these actions are might be an inappropriate response. I mean, that's far-fetched, but, you know.
No, that's not going to happen.
But it was weird. So I left the theater and I saw this in New York, three types of people in the audience. The first was loudmouth guy who was laughing at parts that weren't funny, that was the person that, like, hypothetically, that they were warning us about with seeing this movie, who when the movie was over was pretending, he was like, oh, it's just like me, and I would just off, and like pretending to shoot his friends in the theater, like making jokes about that and how cool it was that he shot the three guys and shot the shot Robert De Niro and all that stuff. And it was like almost kind of like, oh, man, can you imagine like a large group of that type of person seeing this movie? Right. It would be ridiculous. And the friend I was with, we were both like, that was heavy. That was like, that was uncomfortably heavy.
Right.
To, like, and that's why I say I'm saying that as a like a negative thing, but in a way, it's just it's kind of praise for the movie for doing such a good job to do that. And then the other group was we get stuck in the elevator with a guy who was clearly had come from maybe the Suicide Squad lighter superhero group who was confused.
He didn't like it.
By the not that he didn't like it, but he didn't quite understand everything that was going.
Yeah.
And he's like, he like didn't grasp that he was hallucinating at parts.
Right.
And so that wasn't real? I was like, no.
What happened to the girl?
Yeah. He's like, what? Okay. I didn't really, like, he was clearly expecting Heath Ledger's Joker. So what, some of the, I know I'm jabbing away here. Huh? Some of the things that I really liked about it, like, if it's going to be, I felt that if it was going to be a superhero movie, it should have gone a little bit heavier or a little bit lighter and only, like, lighter nods. And it was somewhere in the middle, which kind of, like, I liked and kind of I didn't. I go back and forth. Like, I didn't feel like we needed to see the origin of Batman in this movie. I did like that it kind of set up why Gotham is such a hellhole for Batman when he does come back.
Right.
How this is kind of like the beginning of that, and Joker wasn't the catalyst, but like part of the tipping point to making like crime such a big thing in this universe. I didn't feel like the Joker. This felt like the Joker we would know, where he's kind of like he's crazy, but he's super intelligent.
Right.
But the more I thought of it, the more I was like, no, he has 20-ish years. 15 to 20 years before Batman would come back. And at the end of the movie, which I absolutely loved, he's captured and he's talking to a psychiatrist and he says something, whatever. But then the next scene, he's walking down the hallway and he's clearly just killed her. He's got blood on his shoes and he's just dancing down the hallway, like semi-escaped. And then they start chasing him at like a crazy person around.
Right.
And it's kind of comical, but kind of just like, okay, I get it. He has 15 to 20 years to become the crazy smart guy.
Right.
Like, just by constantly checking the system over and over again, you find the flaws. And that's kind of Joker's thing, is like everyone with enough pressure, everyone will crack. Everyone will go crazy. So I think I also felt like he was a little old to be Joker for 20 to 15 years in the future or whatever to be battling Batman, but whatever. Some things about this, I don't think it needs a sequel. I kind of hope it and they never do anything with it again.
I agree.
But I felt that it was great. I also hope they don't try and emulate it 100% every time from now on.
Right, right.
So I've just been rambling and rambling, but I had a lot of thoughts and I've been holding them in for days. So hit me with what you think.
So I overheard something. Okay, so first of all, I talked to one young man who didn't like it. He wasn't bashing the movie, but he was just sort of saying like, oh, whatever. And he goes, I said, why do you think you didn't like it? And he goes, I don't know. I mean, I kept waiting for Batman to swing in and kick his butt.
You didn't get that he wasn't there?
Right.
That he was the little kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, here's something I predict about this movie. I predict a giant drop-off next week.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think that the hype of it being like for the Hot Topic crowd is gonna, and this is where I was saying they played to that crowd with those trailers, those amazing trailers, right? And they do this, and I think this might sour the interpretation of Birds of Prey.
What I've been telling people is, I don't expect any 18-year-old boy is gonna walk out of Joker and text his friends and be like, "Oh my God, dude, you gotta see this movie.
Yeah,
that was incredible." But I do expect every mature adult who can appreciate a good movie is going to walk out of that movie and go, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was an incredible movie.
This movie, I feel, would not have gotten the attention, but would have warranted the same type of award attention. So wouldn't have got the pop culture attention, but would have warranted the award attention if it had just been the same exact thing minus the Joker.
So you're saying the other thing that I've heard a few people say, which is, what if this movie was just named Arthur?
Yeah.
And it was, you could keep the clown thing in there because he was, you know, a part-time clown or whatever. That was his vocation.
Yeah.
What if the movie was just named Arthur?
Take out the Thomas Wayne thing. Make it any other rich guy.
Yeah. You don't even have to take out Thomas Wayne. You could just take out the scene where the boy in the alley's parents are killed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Take that thing out. Or name them something different.
Yeah,
or
just
like
change the names. Yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
So that's interesting. That's an interesting thought. But for me, I really liked the fact that it was Joker. I loved the... My experience is when they started in on the Wayne thing and we saw the kid, uh-huh. I didn't expect to see the kid.
He was Bruce.
Right. I didn't expect to see Bruce Wayne.
Oh, he was in the trailers.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, by the time I was sitting there watching it, I had kind of forgotten about that.
You never forget anything. That's weird.
I watched a trailer an hour ago, a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, oh, we should put this on the list of new trailers. It was from a movie called Last Christmas.
Which we've already done.
Which we reviewed last week.
Yeah.
And I did not remember that we reviewed it until we got to the scene where the lady says, I'm busy and you're weird. And then she slams the door. Which I loved. And I was like, oh, that's right. I did see this trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so wrapping up our discussion of Joker, this movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely have to see it in a theater on a big screen. It is an interesting business note. Warner Brothers only got 1 week for it in IMAX. So Gemini Man opens in IMAX Thursday night, which I don't know if that really matters because I think this movie appeals to the people. It doesn't necessarily appeal to the IMAX crowd.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So I don't think it's a big deal, but it's definitely a factor.
Right. I'm on board with this movie.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
It'll be, you know what this reminded me is that 37 weeks ago, we started the Penn Cinema podcast.
What?
And one of our early episodes was the Oscars.
Yeah.
And we discussed many movies that neither of us had seen. We faked our way through a whole Oscar season.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. This will be interesting to see how this gets handled by the Academy.
Yeah. This is a weird one. I love this movie. I'll probably watch it one more time, and then I don't know how many times I'll ever go back to it.
I think Joaquin...
It's just so heavy.
I think Joaquin Phoenix is a lock
for
Best Actor.
And he's like in every single frame of the movie.
I don't know whether... The Academy is going to love all the dark, heavy.
Yeah.
The heavy.
The heavy.
Yeah.
The heavy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting.
Okay, so that's our review of The Joker. We're both 100% on board.
I'm exhausted.
Welcome back to the non-spoiler part of the show. We're going to move into listener notes and questions.
For the people who listen and then skip ahead,
yeah,
how do they know we did anything?
Well, it's all blank. That's what they don't know. Half the time it's just empty space.
What was that movie? Contact. Remember that Contact?
Yeah.
That movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
And the data records nothing but fuzz?
Yeah.
But then at the end of the movie, it's like the last, end of the last scene, and the two NASA officials are like discussing it because it turns out that the fuzz, there's like 4.5 hours of white noise. All she did was drop through that thing, and it took like a second.
And it was 4.5 hours.
But the data recorder recorded 4.5 hours of white noise.
Mind blown.
Contact, one of my favorite movies.
Starring, what's her face?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. All right, just like Jodie Foster, spitting image, Pirate Dave.
When we cast the movie for Pirate Dave.
starring
Jodie Foster.
I love it. So he pointed out last week, we dissed Paramount hard.
I love and hate how quickly and accurately he points stuff out.
It's always like midday the next day, first email. And then like later in the day, Chris Hall Productions is like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Pirate Dave, dude, already beat you to
right,
it.
Right.
So he said, we dissed Paramount. And then immediately turned around to talk about how we wanted to see a movie put out by Paramount, the movie Overlord.
It's exactly the kind of thing we would do.
I know. It's 110%.
And then he pointed out Mission Impossible.
Yeah, because we couldn't think of it. Like, what did they do good? Yeah. But here's the big thing.
Yes.
He said, would you guys ever try taking listener calls? And he says, because I have long rants. He said, as long rants, he would just call in and leave if we would do it. It can be done.
Oh, God.
It can be done so easy. We need to discuss it. Google Voice is a thing. 5 minutes, we could have it set up.
And this was the day the podcast went completely off the tracks.
We could play. Yeah. So, and our new soundboard that we're getting has the ability to integrate that stuff seamlessly. So, I mean, I'm down with it. Are you down with it?
100%. Of course I'm down with it. Are you kidding me?
People, all those people who email us, they could be calling us in.
Oh, God. What if Shed Lady calls?
Oh, my God. Shed Lady, tell us, did Shed Lady contact us this week?
Like yes.
Four times?
Yeah. No, yeah. Twice.
Twice.
I'm changing your name to Shady Lady.
Shady Lady?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the Shady Lady.
Well, Shady Lady wrote in, and it was interesting. Like, she commented about, she came here to see Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
But she decided the opening night of Joker would be the right time to to come cruising in to see Downton Abbey. So, and now she's a big fan. She's supportive of fanboys, and
yeah.
You know, she loves cosplay, and like, yeah. She's a fan of people who love movies. She's got a lot of love in her heart, and she witnessed a guy in full Joker face paint,
yeah,
get turned away and sent to go wash up, and you know, come back without all that,
right?
You know. Which was part of our upped security protocol.
Yeah.
Am I right in believing that this is the kind of thing that people who are going to dress up are nowadays aware of the fact that, you know, you're going to come dressed up, you're not going to be allowed in the theater with your helmets and your masks and your face paint. You come to hang out in the lobby, take pictures, have fun, and then right before you go in down the hall to see the movie, you clean up. Or you take off your mask or, you know, whatever the case might be. Aren't we all sort of on the same page?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This day and age, yeah.
Yeah. So she thought that was, like, too bad.
Yeah.
Like, ain't it a shame type of thing.
Yeah, well.
To which I replied, I think if you don't know that, like, if the kid who she saw, because she felt bad for him.
Right.
She said he was probably embarrassed and whatever, which I do feel bad. But now he knows.
Yeah, we'll you know, make that mistake.
In this day and age, you don't do that.
Right. Do you have that posted anywhere?
All over the place.
Okay.
I mean, we put it on Facebook, and we also had a sign on the ticket taker. We have signs left over from the Star Wars openings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that posted.
Yeah.
But the more interesting thing that she wrote.
Yeah.
There's a book called Ghetto Cowboy.
Uh-huh.
Now, with all due respect to our other listener.
Our other listener?
Our other listener. The email that I got from the Shed Lady started out by saying, I was reading Eastern Equestrian Times. And then I have no idea what she said after that because I got totally hung up.
There's something called Eastern Equestrian.
Right.
Is there a Western Equestrian Times?
It raises all kinds of questions. Is there a Midwestern?
A Northern?
Is there a New England?
Oh, my gosh.
Is there a, you know, Mid-Atlantic Equestrian
European
Times?
Equestrian Times?
Well, was it an African swallow or a European swallow? I don't know. So anyway, I think it's kind of an interesting note for our local listeners, especially in Huntington Valley. Mm-hmm. There was a book written called Ghetto Cowboy, which I believe was sort of about people who lived in the city but took up horseback riding. There was like a horseback riding club in northern Philly, and it was called the Fletcher Street Club. And apparently they're making it into a movie starring none other than the next James Bond himself, Ichabod Elbow. Idris Elba, for those of you who weren't here for episode 3.
Tisk tisk.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah.
I think that sounds cool. I love when movies get made locally, and I love Idris Elba, and I think the story is compelling, and I think I'm going to go get on Amazon and order Ghetto Cowboy, and when I'm done reading Dune, I'll read it.
So, 2035 plus 10. All right. So this is in listener notes and questions.
Yes.
We're done. for now, okay. for today. But we want to remind everyone, it's not a lot of time from when this goes up. You'll have like a day and a half.
Yeah.
But we're going to be at the screening for Mr. America at Zotropolis Art House, Stillhouse and Theater, I guess they're called now. Zotropolis.
Call it Zoe.
Zoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to be at Zoe in their new place down on Water Street.
In downtown Lancaster.
Featuring old Penn Cinema seats.
And we're going to be watching Mr. America. Now, this isn't like Podcast Presents or anything.
No.
We are just going to this thing.
Right.
And we're saying, come with us. You should come too.
Yep.
Let's hang out. We'll be there. You want to talk to us afterwards, before, whatever.
Hang out.
We're just going to be there to enjoy what we're hoping is a hilarious movie.
And Zoe has a great, and I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying Zoe has a great restaurant.
Right there.
Right there, yeah. as part of it.
Yep, and they usually have themed drinks. I don't know if they will this time, but they have some
Yeah, some they got some cool stuff going on, so we're going to go and check it out, Mr. America.
It's going to be fun. Now, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing outside of the movie biz?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, on Friday night, I made the big trip, celebrated my high school's 30th class reunion.
Whoa.
30.
30.
3-0.
3-0.
I hung out with people I have not seen since 1989.
Now, let me tell you. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, hit me.
Did these jokers age as pristinely as you have? Did you look at them and say, psh, come on?
I have to say, Amy and I both commented that everybody looked pretty good.
Okay.
There was one or two outliers.
Oh.
Who looked like they had been rode hard and put away wet. As those of you who read Eastern Equestrian Times would know what that means. They're a little bit worn.
Worn.
No, it was great. Everybody looked great. We had a lot of fun. We had all kinds of laughs. And then we drove home overnight, arrived back in Lititz at 3 a.m. I'm proud to say I can still do the late night drive.
Hey, were you at the breakfast in the morning on Saturday downtown at Market?
Yeah, I was, as a matter of fact.
I heard.
Where'd you hear that?
Oh, let me just say I got...
You got eyes and ears. Boom, boom,
boom. People are like, I mean...
Yeah.
My radar went off. I was like, I bet this boy's up in the hood.
Penn's in town. What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, we got in at 3 and woke up and went to Central Market for breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I went to work in Ephrata.
Whoa.
And then I came home and mowed the lawn. And then I went to take homecoming pictures because the Warwick class of 2019, I'm sorry, of 2020, had their senior homecoming.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a busy, busy day. And then when I finally made it into bed late Saturday night, then we had people over for a campfire, was great because it's always fun to have friends over.
Yeah.
Finally struggled up to bed. And slept for 10 hours straight.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I rarely do, but I was zonked.
Wow. So the lawn just like a regular Joe.
That's it, baby. So this segment, we're supposed to talk about things we're watching and reading.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty busy, so I haven't really been doing much. But I will say, I'm fully engaged with The Good Place.
Yeah.
You familiar with this show?
I am.
Ted Danson?
You got to see Ted Danson.
I love this. I love this show.
I haven't gotten into it, but I have read the synopsis of every season because I like the story. I just haven't gotten into watching it.
It's so good.
So
absolutely brilliant.
You
had a big weekend.
It started.
Everybody that I talked to, I was like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, well, I'm no David Moulton, but it's okay.
I mean, who is? All right. So starting Thursday morning, 5:30 a.m. train.
Ooh.
Headed up to New York for the New York Comic Con. My ninth year in attendance.
Ninth year in a row?
Ninth year in a row.
Wow.
I've made it every year in some fashion, sometimes barely getting up there sick and like going for an hour and then leaving. But I've made it in every fashion for 9 years. But this is our first time going on Thursday, which used to be professionals only. And then years ago, they opened it up to professionals and fans. And the con became 4 days instead of 3. And we always talked about how it'd be interesting to go on a Thursday and see what it was like, but there's not a lot of panels and all this stuff. And what would we do? This year we were like, let's do it. Let's just experiencing it. Let me tell you, Penn, Thursday is the day to go to the con. It was the only day that wasn't sold out, which meant not only was there less traffic in general, there, like, it wasn't sold out, so there was really not a lot of traffic. Lines were shorter, so everything that we lined up for, we basically got into. There were a lot more panels because they have it scheduled, like, a lot more panels to go to than there used to be on Thursday. The big thing was the show floor was manageable. It wasn't like, because you've been, it wasn't like pushing through.
Yeah.
You got to see over people to see on the tables. Yeah. Like, you can't stop because you'll cause a traffic jam. It was like walking around the mall, clear, like open space. It was so nice. We all agreed we saw more in a little over like 3/4 of a day that we were there because we left and went and did other stuff. But on Thursday, we saw more than we would normally have seen in a 2 to 3 day stay.
Nice.
On the one day. And it was more like substantial because we could take our time and look. And there were things that we walked past like every year that my friends were like, what's this? Like, I've never seen this before. And I was like, well, they've been here every year. But, you know, it's just so packed. You can only take in.
Right.
You're an overload. And it made it so much more difficult when we then had to go back and it was packed and we were just like, oh, I can't handle it. So next year for year 10, which may be my last consecutive year, I think we might only go for one day and it might just be Thursday. But so some of the cool things I got to see Brian K. Vaughan, one of my favorite authors, who wrote Why the Last Man, Saga, Paper Girls, and a bunch of other stuff. Got to see him talk about his writing Why the Last Man, which is great. A surprising thing that I really enjoyed was I got to see the two lead vocals from Dragon Ball Z, which is not something I'm into, but these guys handled their panel like a pro. They just took questions, and they had a lot of people who struggled socially, and it was really heartwarming because not only did they roll with the punches, they made these people feel like really special. And
oh,
I thought it was really cool the way these guys did their thing. Like most panelists would have gotten annoyed or like been like, let's hurry up and get to the next person. But they gave all these people like the appropriate attention. And even when, you know, some of them didn't understand that their time was up and they kept like hollering, they still kind of gave them like enough attention to satiate them for the
classy.
Classy guys. So I was really impressed with them. So, and then, on the way home, I finished Paper Girls. The very last issue of it came out. And after seeing him, Brian K. Vaughan's talk, I was like anxious to read the end of the story. And it ended fantastic.
You drive in or train?
Train,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You said that, 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it was a good time. It was a good year to go. Had lots of great Asian cuisine. That's what we always go for. That and 99 cent fresh pizza, which is to die for. So
two bros?
No, it's called 99 Cent Fresh.
Oh, nice.
And it's just right there, real near our hotel. So nice. We love it. But that was my journey to New York.
That's awesome. All right, so next week, Gemini Man, did we say that?
Is Gemini? Yeah, next week, Gemini Man and Mr. America come hang out.
Oh, right.
So, cool. All right, well, once again, for the podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.